beginning of a new year, I'm setting off on a new study in our afternoon services. It's part of our desire as a congregation that we would be ministers of salt and light and relief to the community around us. And so this it's been our intention as a session to try to encourage the congregation in the gifts of mercy and to try to open our eyes and ask God to open our eyes to the ways that we can be serving in our community and serving each other as a community of faith as well. So we'll be looking over the next couple of months at the subject of mercy ministry. And as I start this subject, I just want to relate a sense of my own inabilities and my own failings in this ministry. And there have been times that I felt very frustrated at what I could do to help, and the efforts that have been rendered have sometimes not gone in directions that I have wanted them. Just as an example, I had an experience where earlier in the fall I had a call from someone who said that their house had just burned down, and that they were calling around to churches to try to find help, to try to find especially clothing for their children, because they lost everything in the fire. They had been given a place to live, they said, by the Red Cross, and they thought they had enough food and were taken care of that way, but they were looking for clothing. And I said, well, I'll consider that, and ask them to call me back. And I called the Red Cross and asked about this family, of how I might be able to get in touch with them, and what ways that they were helping them out. And they said, we have no record of that individual. He's telling you a story. That if we were helping him, we would know who that is. We would have a record of that, and we would have given a record of our help to him, and you can ask him for a certificate from the Red Cross that signifies the help that we're giving. So the man did call me back, and I said, I'd be happy to talk to you some more about that. The Red Cross said that you should have a certificate that shows the help that you're receiving. And I'd like to see that. I'd like to meet with you just to talk about what kind of help that would be necessary. And before that, he said, or he had a few other things that he wanted to let me know about the clothes that were necessary, that his children wouldn't wear just anything, but there were certain designer aspects of the clothing that his children were needing. And then I came back with a request for that certificate, and he had an excuse for not having that, and I did set up a time to meet with him, and he did not come and meet with me. That's just one example of reason why there's some frustration in helping people in our culture today, or in our community, because there are a number of individuals that are taking advantage of the help that's offered, and that just out and out tell lies about their circumstance and play upon the goodwill of people. At the same time, I also reflected on my dealing with this individual that over 15 years of ministry, that not only have I become a little more savvy to those requests and the sniffing out of the panhandlers and the ones that are just out for a buck. I've also gotten a lot more hard-hearted about the help that I give. And I'm immediately looking for the one that is taking advantage of the situation, and I'm more ready with the turning away than I am with the offering of help. So I'm setting out on this study with some personal goals and some personal desires that the Lord would prompt in me, not only discernment, which I think is part of mercy ministry, but that the Lord would also work in me a compassion for those around us. And it's a compassion that I see in Christ, and I want to emulate that. I'm helped in my study with a number of people that have done some thinking on this, and both within the RP Church and without, and I'll provide some of those at a later point. But in my readings, I came across these interesting statistics that in 1965, President Lyndon Johnson and Congress began a war on poverty. I was in 65. And since then, by 1980, participation of those who were receiving something from the government because of this war on poverty grew by 50 times by 1980. And roughly, by 1980, roughly 10% of Americans just had the simple help of receiving food stamps. To where in 1993, when this book was written, $320 billion were spent on welfare. And in 1993, taxpaying families, on average pay about $3,400 in taxes just for welfare. I was wondering if those stats indicate that we're winning the war on poverty. It doesn't seem like it. It seems like there's more battle or going in another direction that's going on. We certainly haven't won the war on poverty. We have not eradicated or wiped out the poverty that we obviously see around us. Neither does it seem like we are a more compassionate nation. Neither does it seem like we're doing a very good job of caring for the needs around us. But I don't intend to just throw stones at the United States government. I want to look at our responsibility and how we as a people could show compassion to those around us. Two passages that I'd like to hand out to be read out loud. Would someone look up Matthew 9, 35 through 38? Just call it out if you'd like to read that. Matthew 9, 35 through 38. Dan? Good. And the other one is Luke 9, 10 through 17. We'll take that one. Mary? Good. So Matthew 9, 35 through 38.
Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest."
I mentioned that Jesus is an example of compassion. And in this passage, as he is about his work of teaching and preaching, that he notices the distress of the crowds around him. And it very directly says that he was moved with compassion for them. And it's that heart of noticing, not just noticing the suffering, but being moved by that compassion to act that is very noticeable about Jesus. And that's one of my goals, is to fan into flames that heart of compassion that we have as a people for each other and the needs that we see around us in the community of faith, but also in the broader community. Let's listen to Luke 9, 10 through 17 then.
And the apostles, when they had returned, told him all that they had done. Then he took them and went aside privately into a deserted place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. But when the multitude knew it, they followed him, and he received them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God, and healed those who had need of healing. When the day began to wear away, the 12 came and said to him, Send the multitude away that they may go into the surrounding towns and country and lodge and get provisions, for we are in a deserted place here. But he said to them, You give them something to eat. And they said, We have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish, unless we go and buy food for all these people. For there were about 5,000 men. Then he said to his disciples, Make them sit down in groups of 50. And they did so, and made them all sit down. Then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke them, and gave them to the disciples to set before the multitude. So they all ate and were filled, and 12 baskets of the leftover fragments were taken up by them.
There are a number of things in this passage that can be drawn out, but in my interest on the side of mercy ministry and compassion, you'll notice Jesus is giving himself to the needs that were presented to him. Even after he had withdrawn from those labors and withdrawn to a solitary place, and he was still followed, he still gave himself to that ministry. I'd also like you to notice the disciples, the ever practical disciples, and they're noticing that it was it's about 5 o'clock, they should be going away now, it's time for you to close the doors and put up the sign that says closed, and send them home. There was more to it than that. They had food that was necessary. They were in a solitary place. I'm sure they had the interests of Christ and the disciples' band in mind, but they were about the business of sending the crowds away and moving them along. And Jesus confronts them in that and says, "Well, you feed them." And just the amazing thing that the amazing statement that is that. That Jesus would give that responsibility back to them, and then provide miraculously for that very specific need. Just a contrast in those two groups: Jesus on the one hand, and the disciples on another, and the compassion that Jesus shows on those that were in need. Let's work together for just a minute and define compassion. How would you define compassion?
I actually have more of a question. Maybe somebody would know the answer, but I was looking at that word recently, and isn't it from the root compass? Compass, like, or no, is it passion? Compassion. Got it.
It is. It's
with passion.
Com meaning with, and passion is the other part of that word. I don't know the roots of compass, if there's anything. There must be a different root there. But yeah, word origin. If you like word origins, are from the word that com, which means with, and passion, which means it's not the lovey-dovey, kissy-kissy passion that is being talked about here. But sometimes we think about the passion of Christ around Easter, because Christ suffered. So. From that, build me a definition of compassion. Anna?
Things done with the love of Christ, by the love of Christ.
Things done with and by the love of Christ. Good. Dave?
To suffer with someone.
to suffer with someone. And that's, I think, the fullest meaning of the term for compassion is to suffer with. And again, just from the that meaning of the word. And even, well, for word hounds, there's even some development in the meaning of the word that, again, from my reading last century, that was the definition that was given, to suffer along with another, painful sympathy, and it is mostly used as an action. But this century, we have a definition that goes like this: feeling or the emotion one gets when he is moved by the suffering or distress of others, or the desire to relieve suffering. The primary meaning there being the feeling, and only secondarily, even the desire to do something about it. So the older meaning is the one that I'm aiming for. It's the older meaning that has in mind an action, getting involved personally with a situation and meeting the real needs of another to suffer with. What I'm not aiming for is just the feeling. It's not that feelings are not involved in the work of compassion. In fact, they should be. It is right that our hearts are moved by the pain and sufferings of others. But it doesn't stop at the feelings. And you can see that example in Jesus's case in Matthew 9 and in Luke 9, that not only did he see and identify the sufferings of those who are around him, and not only was he moved by the suffering that was taking place, but he was moved to act. In Matthew 9, he calls his disciples to pray to the Lord of the harvest to ask for laborers. And then laborers are sent out into that harvest. And in Luke 9, there is the very physical touching and healing that Jesus does in the process of ministering, and then the feeding of those that were hungry. I made a note here. I feel your pain, and some of the younger ones won't know what that means, but if you are politically aware, about 10 years ago, or maybe it's longer than that now, our former President Clinton famously said about the plight of the poor, "I feel your pain." And it may have been the height of this modern expression of compassion, where a feeling of pain for someone else is what is described. I don't even know exactly what that means. I feel your pain, but
that's the point.
Yeah, well, that could be. Well, it is important to be moved, and we are not some type of stoic believers that all you need to do is buck up and get better. God has made us emotional people. That's part of who we are. So it's not right for us to not be moved. It is right for us to be moved. But there needs to be more than just the empathy or the sympathy that we would have for someone else. And just by way of introduction as well to this subject, as we think about compassion, you may reflect back on your own attempts to help someone else, and attempts where things didn't go exactly how you intended, or where things either got worse, or the help that was rendered was never appreciated or taken, or was taken in the wrong way. And what I want to prompt you to do is to not get scarred over in your heart because of that. To address that emotional side of things, as I looked back over this last fall of how I felt like I'm more savvy and discerning in finding out those that are just scamming, I also critique myself in thinking that having been taken, that there is scar tissue that has set in, and I want to address that by learning the compassion that addresses the heart as well as the need, and as Jesus does in his own ministry. So it's more than just a feeling. It is a suffering with. It is an action that does try to meet the needs of the individuals around us on all levels. And we'll get into what that means, because the compassion that the Bible teaches us is a very robust type of ministry, and it's one that fits with our evangelistic mission and the evangelistic heart that we have as a people, that God would be saving sinners. And that's one level by which we show compassion, as we address a spiritual level. But we also address a level of physical need, too, in the process. And we want those to go hand in hand. I intend today just to be an introduction, an opening of our thinking on this. And I would invite you to begin to pray that God would move you with the same type of passion that Christ was moved with. That you would not turn a blind eye to those around you that are suffering. I'd also invite you to pray that God would help you know how to engage in the showing of compassion. And I hope that in the coming weeks that I'll be able to give good, practical, biblical instruction on how to carry out mercy ministries. There'll be lots of time for discussion in the following weeks, and I have in mind working again together as a group as we think about mercy ministries. So come prepared with questions and observations, and we'll work through this subject together. Let's bow together in a word of prayer. Lord God, I confess that it is too often my response that showing mercy is not convenient right now. I confess that because of being misapplied and misunderstood in the past, that I've even become hard-hearted to those in need. God, forgive me of those sins. I pray that you would lead us as a people to see what it means to have compassion and to act in ways that do show Christ to the community around us. I pray, God, that you would enlarge our hearts and strengthen our hands to do work that is hard. God, strengthen our faith that as we seek to meet the needs that we believe you're calling us to address, that we would look to you to supply, just as you have throughout all of our lives and throughout all of history. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks for